So 1 Samuel 14, let's just read from verse 1. Now the day came that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who was carrying his armor, "Come and let us cross over to the Philistine garrison," excuse me, "that is on the other side." But he did not tell his father. Saul was staying in the outskirts of Gibeah under the pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people who were with him there were about 600 men. And Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the priest of the Lord at Shiloh, was wearing an ephod. And the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Between the passes by which Jonathan sought to cross over to the Philistine garrison, there was a sharp crag on one side and a sharp crag on the other side. The name of one was Bozez and the other one was called Senai. The one crag rose on the north opposite Mishmash, and the other on the south opposite Geba. Then Jonathan said to the young man who was carrying his armor, "Come and let us cross over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. Perhaps the Lord will work for us. For the Lord is not restrained to save by many or by few." His armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Turn yourself, and here I am with you according to your desire." Then Jonathan said, "Behold, we will cross over to the men and reveal ourselves to them. If they say to us, 'Wait until we come to you,' then we will stand in our place and not go up to them. But if they say to us, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up, for the Lord has given them into our hands, and this shall be the sign to us." When both of them revealed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines said, "Behold, Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden themselves." So the men of the garrison hailed Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, "Come up to us, and we will tell you something." And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has given them into the hands of Israel." Then Jonathan climbed up on his hands and feet with his armor bearer behind him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer put some to death after him. That first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within about half a furrow in an acre of land. And there was a trembling in the camp in the field, and among all the people, even the garrison, and the raiders trembled, and the earth quaked, so that it became a great trembling. Well, we'll leave it there. So we want a title for this morning's talk. I know David asked me to give him a title. It's Only an Armor Bearer. Only an Armor Bearer. And really, the role of an armor bearer was normally to carry the armor, the shield, perhaps even the weaponry of the warrior. And any warrior worth his weight would have an armor bearer. Goliath had an armor bearer, do you remember? Who carried his shield for him. Saul made David his armor bearer at one point. And we read of other warriors. Joab was another one who had two armor bearers. So any warrior worth his weight would have an armor bearer. And of course, the greatest warrior of all is the Lord himself. He is a warrior. Do you realize that? The Lord is a warrior. It says that in Exodus 15 verse 3. The Lord is a great warrior. And the amazing thing is the Lord chooses to use you and I as his armor bearers, as those who can accompany him into battle. Not our battles, of course, but his battles. That is the wonderful position we find ourselves in as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can rule with him in those heavenly places. We can attend the Master, our King, our warrior in battle. And of course, there are many battles that we have to fight. There are our own battles, aren't there? Battles within. The battles over the flesh. Over the self-life. That old nature. Constant battles that we have to keep that in the place of death. Because so quickly it wants to rise up and exert itself. And we need to learn the way of victory. Now that may be our battle in one sense, but it's the Lord's battles as well. Because the Lord is with us in that battle. The Lord doesn't save us and redeem us when we come to him and then say, "Well, you get on and fight this battle on your own." The Lord doesn't do that. He gives us the help of his Holy Spirit so that we can fight these battles that we have. So we have our own personal battles, don't we? Our personal battles within. Our battles with the world. The world is forever pressing in upon us, wanting us to conform to its way of thinking. There are battles to engage in there. But then there are the bigger battles, of course. The battles that we have as a nation. Now, the amazing thing is, you and I can be involved in the nation's battles. In a spiritual sense, of course. That's the wonderful thing of being a Christian. And how we need to get a hold of that again in our day. We've really lost sight of that in the church, I think. You know, we're so taken up with our own personal battles, and they are important, of course. But God has a bigger vision for us. There are battles that He wants us to be involved in the nation, for the church nationally, and even wider afield internationally. And to be involved in those battles, we have to learn the way of victory in the smaller battles. And there's a wonderful testimony that David gave early on in his, before he became a king, when he was tending Saul, really. And if I turn to this, we'll read this. It's a lovely verse. It's in 1 Samuel 76, 43 pages. It's the episode with Goliath. And people are starting to cast doubt upon David whether he's able to really face this giant. This wasn't David's battle. This was the battle that the soldiers of Israel were facing. It was God's battle because the Philistines were attacking Israel. And what did David say in verse 37? David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, may the Lord be with you." See, David had learned something of what it was to battle with the Lord in his own personal battles. In his day-to-day living out in the fields with his sheep. He had to learn to fight. And God had delivered him. Isn't it wonderful that David was able to give God the glory? This wasn't that David was able to overcome the bear and the lion. But this is something of God's enabling, God's gracious hand upon him. To give him the victory. God wants us to be victorious, friends, in our personal battles. He doesn't want us to be overcome. He wants us to be an overcoming people. So that like David, we will have a testimony. A testimony that points to what God has done. But not only that, God wants us to be victorious in these smaller battles, if we can call them that, so that we can be used in bigger battles. And there's no bigger battle for David than facing Goliath. And yet he was able to go into that battle because he'd seen what God was able to do. You see, if we don't see what God is able to do in our own lives, how can we put faith in Him? How can we trust Him? Well, we should trust Him. Of course, nothing wrong with God. It's our fault for the bigger battles. If we don't see God at work in our own lives and victorious over the things that beset us. So friends, be encouraged. God wants us to be victorious in our battles, which are really His battles. And one other thing before we look at this armor bearer. You see, the king looked for an able man. He looked for someone who he could trust to carry his armor. So the armor bearer was a chosen man. A chosen woman, I could even say today. This wasn't that the armor bearer applied for the job and put in his CV. This is one that the king had an eye on. And he saw. And he said, "I want you to be my armor bearer." You see, we are chosen, aren't we? We're chosen. Chosen by God. And we are chosen for purposes, friends. We are chosen to work with Him in these battles that He has for us to face. Not because of any innate ability in us. He chooses us to fight with Him because of the inherent ability that we have in Christ Jesus. It's inherited. It's from Him. There's nothing about us that will cause us to stand and be victorious. It's all of Him. It's all of His Spirit. So what about this armor bearer? Well, there's one statement in this whole passage that we could just take away and meditate upon, and it will thrill our hearts, I'm sure. It's verse 7. Let's just read this again. Verse 7. Turn back a couple of pages if you are still in 1 Samuel 16 or 1 17. And this is, well, let's read verse 6 first. Jonathan said to the young man who was carrying his armor, "Come and let us cross over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. Perhaps the Lord will work for us, for the Lord is not restrained to save by many or by few." Isn't that, that's a wonderful position to hold, isn't it? God isn't dependent upon numbers. God doesn't require a huge army. That's why when Gideon had to get rid of so many, because God knew, and he said to them, if you have too many, you'll take the glory. God doesn't need a huge number. He just needs a faithful few sometimes. And Jonathan knew this. Jonathan probably knew his history. He knew about Gideon. The Lord is not restrained to save, friends, by many or by few. Isn't that wonderful? What an encouragement to us in this day, in this land, when increasingly there are few of those who hold fast to the word of God and to the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be encouraged. It doesn't take many. It takes faithfulness, that's all. So, the Lord is not restrained to save by many. And then it's this next verse I want to look at. His armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Turn yourself and here I am with you, according to your heart or your desire." What a wonderful thing to say. And we're just going to look at this verse now and look at some of the qualities that the Lord's looking from us as his armor bearers, so to speak, that we can see in this armor bearer. The first thing I want to look at, he said, "Turn and I am with you. Turn and I am with you." He was not going to leave the side of Jonathan. The side of Jonathan was the place of security and the place of safety. And friends, do you know what? That's the only place you and I will ever find the security and the safety that we need in this life. It's by the side of Jesus. There isn't any security anywhere else. If this armor bearer had wandered off when the battle had started, that was it. He would not have survived. And I don't even know what he was using to fight with. Because if you go read the previous chapter, it said that only Saul and Jonathan had swords in those days. Because they become so impoverished by the Philistines that only Saul and Jonathan had swords. Now maybe he had lent a sword to his armor, I don't know. But the fact is, if he had wandered away from Jonathan, that was it. It was a very dangerous thing to do. He had to stay near his master. Friends, we have to stay near the Lord. We have to keep him within eyeshot. We have to stay at his side. That's the only safe place we have in any battle, whether it's our own battles within or it's the battles without. We have to stay near him because that is the place of security and that's the place of safety. It's also a place of tremendous encouragement. How encouraged this armor bearer must have been as he climbed up that hill, climbed up to the garrison of the Philistines, and he saw his master dealing with those Philistines, and then he was able to join in the battle as well. It's a place of tremendous encouragement to be at the side of the Lord Jesus, because when we're at the side of the Lord Jesus, we can see him at work. We can see what he's at, what he's doing. Even as we heard some testimony this morning, to see what the Lord has done in the healing of others. What a wonderful encouragement that is to us, to see that the Lord is able to do these things. But you see, if we wander off and we don't see, then we miss so much. We don't see the encouragement. We get discouraged. And we're not able to fight. We're not able to take up the sword and to wage a good warfare. So friends, being at the side of his master was imperative for this armor bearer. And it's absolutely vital for us. It's the place of security. It's the place of safety. It's the place of great encouragement. But it's also the place of victory. Isn't that wonderful? There was no victory for this armor bearer if he'd left the side of Jonathan. He would have been cut down very quickly. It was at the side of Jonathan he was going to know victory. And you know what? It's the same for you and I. There is no victory outside of Christ. There's no victory over the sin in our lives. There's no victory in any area. There's no victory in the bigger battles. We can choose a big battle to take on. But if the Lord's not in it and he's not, and we're not with him and he's not with us, then it's a waste of time. And we see that in Scripture. Do you remember, we haven't got time to turn to this, but do you remember when they were coming out of Egypt, they were going into the promised land, and the spies had gone off, they'd come back, two had brought a good report back, Caleb and Joshua. Yes, this is a great land, we can go in and take this, putting their trust firmly in God. But the other 10 spies put out a bad report. And God was very angry that they did not trust him. And God said, right, you're not going into that land. You're going to wander in the wilderness. What was the response of the people? Okay, come on, let's go. We're going to go up into the land. We're going to take it. God told Moses, tell that people, do not go up because I am not with them. I am not with them. Did they listen? No. We can be a bit like that, can't we? Just forge on in our own strength and think we can overcome anything. Well, I know I can be sometimes. I don't know about you. But it's a way of defeat. And that's what happened. They were turned back. They were defeated. Because God was not with them. Friend, there's no victory in the Christian life if God isn't with us. There's no victory for us if we're not with him. It's at the side of our Master. That's the place of victory. That's why it's so important we need to stay close to him. That's why it's so important that your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and mine is more important than anything else this world can afford. There's nothing more important in this world than your relationship with Jesus Christ. Not your relationship with your husband, your wife, your best friend, your son, your daughter. Nothing is as important as your relationship with him. In him alone is victory. And we need to remember that, don't we? And this armor bearer certainly realized that. That's why he stayed so close to Jonathan. As Jonathan put them to death at the front, as they came around the back, he dealt with them then. It's also a place of learning. At the side of the Lord Jesus is a place of tremendous learning. And just think of this armor bearer. He was a young man. He probably hadn't seen a lot of battles. But Jonathan has seen something in him that said, right, you're going to be my armor bearer. He had seen something in this young man. And this young man had to accompany Jonathan and stay at his side in the battle, because it was in that place he could learn how to fight. He could learn how to wage a good warfare. He could learn how to become a warrior himself. This is the place to be. And it was I was reminded as I was thinking about this of that wonderful passage in Matthew 11 where Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Friends, it's only as we are yoked to the Lord Jesus Christ that we can learn anything in the Christian life. We need to be yoked to him. We need to be tied to him. We need to go in the direction that he's going. Because when those two things are yoked together, there's only one direction it can go, because there's no separating them. We need to learn. So that place at the side of the Master is a place of tremendous learning. The Lord wants to teach us so much. He wants to teach us so much. Well, moving on. Back to that verse in 1 Samuel 14, please. He also said, just before he said, turn and I'll be there, he said this. Do all that is in your heart. Do all that is in your heart. Here we see a man expressing his total trust in his Master. Do all that is in your heart, because I trust you. Whatever you choose to do, Jonathan, I trust you. Whatever you choose to do in the next half an hour, whatever it is, as much as dangerous as it's going to be, I'm going to trust you because I know that your heart is right. Well, if he could say that about Jonathan, how much more can we say that of the Lord Jesus Christ? Whatever you choose to do, Lord, do it. And I'm with you. Do all that is in your heart, that absolute trust that we need to have in our Saviour. And we can see this time and again. That absolute trust that he had also in the ability of Jonathan. You see, his armor bearer knew what Jonathan was able to do. He had seen something already, perhaps in other battles, what Jonathan was capable of. Well, how much more us as armor bearers of the Lord Jesus Christ? We know what he is capable of, friends, don't we? The more we stay at his side, the more we see what he can do in our own lives, in other lives. And we have no doubt about his ability. And I was reading this verse again recently. I'll read it again because I think it's there's a couple of parts. Don't turn to this, it's going to take time. Let me just read from Hebrews 11 first of all. Because what we see here with the armor bearer, he is putting his faith firmly in Jonathan. And that's where our faith needs to be in our master. Firmly in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just read from Hebrews 11. And two verses. By faith, even Sarah, verse 11. By faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. And then verse 19. Abraham considered that God is able to raise people. You see, the armor bearer considered that Jonathan was able. If he didn't consider Jonathan was able, he would have run a mile. He'd have gone back to Saul and the other 600 men who were shaking in their boots. But he stood at the side of Jonathan because he considered Jonathan able. You see, if we consider our God is able, we won't leave his side. Do you consider him able? Well, I hope you do, friends. He is well able. Well able to do everything that he needs to do in your life and my life. And beyond that as well in the bigger battles. Let's read from Romans as well, because something tied in with that, Romans 4, verse 19. Again, familiar verses, hopefully. It says this. Again about Abraham. Without becoming weak in faith, this is Abraham, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead. He was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured of that what God had promised he was able to perform. You see, as Abraham considered the impossibility of his situation, naturally, he should have grown weak in faith. Why on earth should he have been strong in faith when he considered that it was impossible, humanly speaking, to have a child? But he didn't put his trust in what he saw. He put his trust in what God had promised and what God had said. And friends, if we do not do that, if this armor bearer starts seeing this garrison of Philistine soldiers, each one with a sword in his hand, if he had looked at that and set his gaze on that, he would not have had the faith that he needed to attend Jonathan's side. You see, God had promised victory here. We'll look at that in a second. They knew the victory was theirs. And therefore he could enter this battle fully assured that no matter how impossible the situation seemed, God would grant the victory. Abraham was sure. It didn't matter that humanly speaking, naturally speaking, it was impossible. Because God had promised. God had said he would do something. And friends, when God says he will do something, he will do it. He is not like you and me. We say things and we do not do them. God is not like that. He is not like man. He says it and he does it. That is our God, friends. There's none like him. So back to that passage in 1 Samuel 14. This is the God that we serve, friends. And we too, like Abraham, if you like, can grow strong in faith. We don't need to have our eyes upon all the impossible situations we see around us, whether in our own lives or nationally. Things look impossible, don't they, at times? Keep your eyes upon the Lord. Keep your eyes upon the Lord and what he said. Well, let's move on. In that same verse, it says this. Do all that is in your heart. Turn yourself and here I am with you according to your heart. According to your heart. In other words, he was saying, I am with you according to your desires. I'm going to put my desires, all my thoughts and everything else that might assail me, I'm going to put that behind me, the armor bearer is saying. It's your heart that matters. It's your heart that's perfect, Jonathan. And I'm going to go with you. I'm not going to let my own desires get in the way. My own fears, you name it. And naturally, he should have been fearful. He should not have had any courage at all, really, naturally. But he said, according to your heart, according to your desire, let it be. And when we come to that place where we're willing to let go of our own desires, when we come to that place where we're willing to let go of our own ambitions, if you like, all those things that stem from myself, then we'll find what we a precious unity with our Master. A wonderful unity of purpose. You see, there was no separation here between these two. They were totally united in what they were seeking to do. Because the armor bearer had put aside his own life, if you like, and chosen to live for his Master. That is the way of victory, friends. If you will put aside yourself and die to yourself and your own desires and your own self-interest, that is the way to victory. That is the way to a wonderful unity with Christ. A unity of purpose where you are working together with your Saviour for the same ends. It's when you want to do your own thing is the problem, isn't it? And when God is trying to do something else. You're trying to do something over there and God is trying to do something over there. And nothing ever gets done. We need to surrender totally, don't we? The armor bearer surrendered everything. Surrendered everything to his Master. And we need to do the same thing. We need to lay down our own desires, our own interests, and work with the Saviour. Moving on. Fourthly. There was no presumed authority here. They didn't presume that they were going to have this victory regardless. Notice what Jonathan said. Maybe, verse 6 I think it was, wasn't it? Come and let us cross over. Perhaps the Lord will give us. It wasn't this sort of triumphalism that we can sometimes see in Christian circles. We're going to get the victory regardless. No, perhaps the Lord. Perhaps the Lord will give us the victory. It's the Lord who decrees the victory. And God hadn't spoken to Jonathan. If you look at other events in David, King David, even King Saul, when they sought the Lord, God gave them a word. Yes, go, I will give you the victory. David wonderfully inquired of the Lord at every turn, didn't he? When he attacked the Philistines. And God said to him, yes, I will give you the victory, go. But we don't see that here for Jonathan. Jonathan didn't inquire of the Lord. He didn't get the ephod out and ask the Lord. But there was a sense within him that maybe God would give the victory. God would grant something here. And so he asked for confirmation. And we can do that, friends, at times. Particularly if the Lord hasn't spoken to us. There's nothing wrong with asking the Lord, Lord, show me, is this something that I should be doing? Is this an area I should be going into? Is this a battle that I should be engaged in? And Jonathan did that. And he said, well, if they tell us that we had to come up there, we know God has given us the victory. What a change. Well, not a change. They were all very, very confident in the Lord. But what tremendous faith was in these two men when they climbed that mount. As soon as the can you just imagine this? They just said this. If they call us up there, we know God has given us the victory. At the very next breath, we see the Philistines saying, come up here then, you Hebrews, hiding in your holes, and we'll teach you a lesson. What confidence. You and I might have quaked in our boots, but Jonathan and his armor bearer knew with absolute full assurance, there was no shadow of doubt in their heart, I would guess, that the victory was theirs. It didn't matter they were outnumbered. It didn't matter that these were hostile, aggressive Philistines. God had said, I'll give you the victory. There was that assurance in their hearts. They had asked God for confirmation and God had given it. And when you have confirmation like that from the Lord and you've asked for something, hold on to it, friends. Hold on to him. Trust him completely. Don't allow the enemy to sow doubts in your heart, which he will seek to do at any occasion. But the absolute confidence. And just read that verse again. Let's go back to the passage. In verse 10 he said, "This shall be the sign to us." And then they speak to him. And then he says in verse 12, he turns to his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has given them into the hands of Israel." He doesn't say, "Come up after me, maybe the Lord will do it now." No, the Lord's done it. It's done. The Lord has given them into our hands. Past tense, if you like. It's happened. That is faith, friends. When you know God has done and said something. When God has confirmed something to you. When God has said something, it is as good as done. It is as good as done. Well, praise God. We can come to that same place as well ourselves. So no presumption. There was an inquiring. There was an asking, a confirmation. And God commanded the victory, if you like, here. Well, a couple more things. We're running out of time. It's also interesting. This is just by way of interest. You might want to go and look at this yourself. Perhaps I'm reading something into this that's not there. But have a look at it. Anyway, verse 4. Go back. That the path that they had to go through had two rocks on either side. And they had names. And I'll just give you the meaning of their names. The one was called Bozez. And it means surpassing white. And the other one was called Senar, which means thorny. And in between these two rocks, there was a separation. The pass that they were going up. And to me, this speaks of the way of the cross. It separates on one side, pushes it far away, if you like, the thorny cliff. Thorns in Scripture stands for the curse. The curse we read of in Genesis when God cursed the ground. And on the other side, surpassing white. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And on the other side, we see the evidence of what the cross can do in our lives. And that's the path we need to walk, friends. The path of victory with our God is the way of the cross. Where we have on one side the thorny side, if you like. Yes, it's not affecting us anymore. It's separated from the way that we are to go. And we can walk in a way of purity. So just leave that with you. Go and meditate upon that a bit more, perhaps. But just finally, I just want to look at briefly at the end, the outcome. What the outcome was. Because this armor bearer had stood with his master and had stayed at his side. There was a sharing in the victory. This is a tremendous victory that Jonathan had all the glory, if you like, and yet the armor bearer was able to share in the victory and to share in the glory. We don't have his name, because the name that is important is Jonathan. Friends, we're not here to make a name for ourselves. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, his name and his name alone that matters. But he will allow us to share in the victory and even in his glory. What a wonderful thing that is. We don't deserve that. We are sinners redeemed by his mercy and grace. And yet he allows us to come alongside and stand with him. To be engaged in those battles. To share in something of the victory. And to share in something of his glory. What a wonderful thing that is. And the context as well of this whole event just reminds me of today. The Philistines had the high ground. The Philistines were it seemed impregnable, their position, unassailable. They had tremendous confidence. They seemed to be holding everybody at arms. Nothing could actually penetrate this unassailable people, it seemed. And we see something of that today, don't we? Increasingly, secular humanism has a hold upon our nation. It seems unassailable. It seems to have a position that no one can challenge it. And yet God has a way. God has a way. He is not restrained to save by few or by many. He's looking for faithful ones. He is looking for those armor bearers that will be faithful and stand with him in the battle.
Now, I'm not saying secularly the human is going to be overturned completely, but there can be victories against it. It doesn't need to be all-conquering, if you like. And the wonderful thing is, if you go and read the rest of that chapter and see what happened, there was this victory that Jonathan brought about was a catalyst, if you like, for further victory when the men were stirred with Saul and others came out of hiding. Others that Israel thought were really never going to come into the battle. They actually appeared from nowhere. And they rose up and there was the pursuing of the Philistines. So this was a great encouragement to other believers, if you like. You see, when you and I attend the side of our Master and know victory in our lives, it's a tremendous encouragement to others as well. It's an encouragement to hear testimony, as we heard this morning, what God can do. God is able, friends. And when you and I live in that victory, when we know something of victory over the things that are besetting us in our own lives, but also bigger than that as well, as we come together to pray corporately for big matters, as we see God working and moving, it's a tremendous encouragement. It's a tremendous encouragement. Well, just concluding then. God is looking, friends, for armor bearers today who will follow him, stay close to him, have his heart, die to their own interests, put their absolute trust in him, walk the way of the cross, put absolutely no trust in their own flesh. God is looking for that today. I'm going to finish with an old song, because I don't know whether you may never have heard this song, but I remember singing this as a child. Only an armor bearer, firmly I stand, waiting to follow at the king's command, marching if onward shall the order be, standing by my captain, serving faithfully. Friends, may the Lord find faithful armor bearers in our day. Let's pray.